Next presentation is Deborah Sepulveda, and she will be presenting improving prenatal education and cultural understanding between clinicians and Somali immigrants, a multifaceted approach. Deborah Sepulveda is the director of the Ambulatory Obstetrics and Gynecology of Maine Medical Center in Portland, Maine. She's an associate professor and clerkship director for the University of Vermont Medical School. And Deborah?
So I have no relationships to disclose, the theme of the day. So the purpose of our study, this was a qualitative study, small numbers, was to address barriers to acceptance of healthcare by Somali prenatal patients. Before I get any farther, actually, I should have introduced Emmy Hunt and Nancy Hill, who are here in the front row, who actually did the hands-on work, and I just want to introduce them. So if you have specific questions about some of the women after the presentation, they'd be very well equipped to answer those. So a couple words on our facility to start. Our clinic is a hospital-based clinic and a tertiary care hospital with about 13,000 annual visits, although we have a very, very broad socioeconomic diverse population with 25 nationalities, and about 30% of the population is Somali. So our motivation for the project was really twofold. We had quite a few concerns from the Somali patients themselves, and there seemed to be escalating reports of their dissatisfaction with their care, and began to express more and more mistrust of the medical interventions that we had to offer. In terms of our staff, our clinic is staffed primarily by residents and nurse practitioners, so it is a teaching facility. And there's quite a bit of concern on the staff in terms of lack of acceptance of medical recommendations in our Somali population, and just a lot of generalized expressed frustration in trying to understand that group of relatively new refugees. So our project overview, just to give you a quick outline, first we held focus groups with the Somali women, and the objective of those focus groups was to identify specific barriers to understanding. We then sat down and worked on an improvement strategy with some specific objectives, and the two overriding objectives were to improve Somali understanding and to improve provider cultural competency, again, primarily with the residents and the nurse practitioners. And we then selected a core group of Somali liaisons. This sounds much easier than it was. I'll talk about that in a second. We provided educational sessions for these liaisons. We held provider cultural competency workshops using these liaisons as assistants, and then held several pilot prenatal teaching sessions with our Somali women. And I'll talk more about that as well. I highlighted here the focus groups, the Somali liaisons, and the cultural competency workshops because they're really the essence of the project. So a few words on the focus groups. These were led by Nancy and Emmy. They led four focus group interviews of about 18 pregnant or postpartum women. It was held in the community. They facilitated it. They had a bank of a standard 8 questions per group to try to have some consistency. And these were audio taped and transcribed. Some of the results of the focus groups, I'd like to spend probably the bulk of the time on this. The first group was barriers to access, and the second group of barriers were really barriers to acceptance. So in terms of barriers to access of care, I think there are no surprises here. This really builds on some of the themes we heard in the earlier session. So lack of extended family for support, difficulty with childcare and transportation needs, and making appointment times, and then language barriers. So I think it's brings more to life to hear a couple quotes. So I did bring some quotes along. One quote said, "I've been seeing lately a lot of the patients finding a way to get here," meaning the hospital, "by asking a neighbor. Somebody yesterday was outside her door for an hour to find someone who was driving by to take a woman in." Another woman said, "When you're in checkout, young kids are crying and going everywhere and you can't watch them." I think we can affirm that. You know, kids are going each direction. The poor mother's there. They have very large families. It's difficult to keep them contained and to feel that they can make the visit worthwhile. terms of barriers to acceptance, I think our group had a few more surprises here. The first major barrier was the education on the Somali population in terms of why we do what we do. So these barriers were both due to educational and cultural barriers. The first one, that again is not a real surprise, is that preventive care is a completely new concept for many of these women. And here's another quote. Over there, it seems as if pregnancy is a very natural experience. It's not seen as a big, big thing like it is here. Like a woman has to have a baby and that's natural. Their body can handle it. Another quote said, my mother said I did not go to appointments. How come you do it? You're not sick. How come you're going to the hospital? So they not only had their own unfamiliarity of preventive care to deal with, but also a lot of messages from the community reinforcing that. And they also didn't really understand the rationale for many interventions. And so even some of our liaisons who are better educated did not really completely understand rationales for C-sections or post-date inductions. It did seem, though, that our care was somewhat more accepted if it was related to existing medical problems. So if there's something like hyperemesis or diabetes, something that they recognized as a medical issue, they were more accepting of the care. And they also had some misperceptions of risk, and we thought that was interesting, even with such basic interventions as prenatal vitamins. And there was another quote here, vitamins are not at all helpful for the mother or baby. They fatten both and complicate delivery. You know, some people believe that if you take vitamins, your baby grows too big. So here we had been writing prescriptions for vitamins and handing them out and not realizing till later that they weren't being accepted. And they also didn't understand some of the roles of providers, the clinical providers. They had the impression that students were not supervised and that if there was a student in the room, they're very likely to make mistakes. They're concerned about that. Some of them also thought their nurse practitioners were just practicing nurses, which is not unique to our Somali population, I might add. It's a common misperception. And they also expressed privacy concerns, that they did not want two people looking at them, such as when students were in the rooms. In terms of cultural barriers, the overriding cultural concern is the importance of faith. And I thought this quote really summarized the essence of that. I think in American culture, you put a lot of trust in science. In the Somali culture, we put a lot of trust in God. So obviously a lot of work to do to see how we can reconcile the two and not see them as divisive, but complementary. And specifically with inductions, post-dates, God knows better. So why should I have this intervention? The baby comes in God's time. They also noted that Somalia, the focus was always more on the mother and less on the baby. Another quote, in the hospital, they would just make her stressed with all those monitoring things, and they didn't really appreciate the value of fetal assessment. Another barrier to accessing care for postpartum depression was a stigma regarding mental health issues. Another quote, we hide our feelings, it's a sign of weakness. And family members, again, often caution mothers not to take medication out of the belief that would make the woman, quote, crazier. The major difference between the Somali expectations and our practice was the perspective of time. Another quote, if a woman is admitted to the hospital, everything is done so quickly. They don't wait for the labor to continue as they used to wait back in Somalia. They felt that they didn't have time to consider God's will, which was the essence of their decision-making process. So they felt that providers were rushing into a C-section, whether for failure to progress or fetal distress, and they needed time to wait, sit, converse, and consider God's will before they felt that they could consent to that intervention. And lastly, one of the most surprising findings for us was really the overriding significance of respect and trust and how sometimes our own healthcare system undermined that. Another quote, you're a couple minutes late, and when I'm late, you don't respect that. You send me back home. They also felt that seeing different providers showed a lack of respect and perhaps undermined trust. And they felt that if they did not have continuity of providers, that seeing a new provider wasted their time. And apparently some patients had stopped coming to visits because of that concern of lack of continuity. So having developed a list of about 15 or so barriers to access and acceptance of care, we decided that the categories most easily addressed were Somali education and understanding, and then trying to address provider understanding of Somali culture. And again, as so many of the groups we've heard today or will hear about, we thought that the single most effective way to do so was through the use of liaisons. So in terms of liaisons, recruitment was a prolonged process, as was building relationships with the women. We held two educational groups on Saturdays. The content of those groups was based essentially on the focus group outcomes, finding the barriers and trying to address those barriers with education. Also a lot of background on prenatal care, the why, the what about that. We used a workshop approach. These women were fairly westernized, so we had PowerPoint, we had a folder to hand out with information, and we administered pre and post questionnaires and evaluations, a kind of pre and post tests to ensure that some education was indeed happening. And then we spent time coaching around expectations for the remainder of the project. In terms of the liaison contribution to the project, they helped us significantly with the provider cultural competency session that I'll mention in a moment. They did help us with the prenatal teaching sessions in a much larger way than we had expected. So they served as advisors. They worked with us to set the content of the program. We thought we had done a good job. You know, like typical Westerners, we held up our signs, we advertised, we did what we thought are the right things. We naively came to the sessions in the community. Nobody came, I think, but one woman show. So the liaisons of their own initiative went door to door, brought women out. Within about half an hour, we had a full room of women, which is how we should have started this project, obviously. They served as educational assistants, interpreters, and cultural brokers throughout that project. And then we turned to the design of the cultural competency program for our clinicians. We purposefully timed that for late in the project, thinking we needed time to get to know the women who were helping us. They needed to develop a comfort level, and we needed to have a good grasp of the concept and the issues within our specific community. So the content, again, was based on the specifics of local culture and barriers. In terms of methods, we had a brief didactic where we tried to give some background to the refugee group, where they had come from. We had a large group discussion with the residents, the nurse practitioners, dietitians, social workers, the whole broader staff, trying to identify their experiences with the woman, what were barriers, what problems did they have. We had a question and answer session, had small groups then, and this was really the essence of this workshop. We broke the larger staff into small groups who met directly with the Somali liaisons. We provided them just a short list of questions to prompt them and get them started. But then it was really a question answer session based on their own need to know, which is part of the adult learning theory model. So rather than just provide a lot of information, what barriers have you found? What are your frustrations? And to discuss those. And again, that was evaluated with the pretest, post-test, and evaluation forms. So competency outcomes, I don't have time for a lot of quotes in this section. I wish I did. It was really fascinating. In terms of content that they learned, and again, this was all content that was extracted from the Somali liaisons. Faith in culture and decision-making, the importance of that, the importance of relationships and community structure, specifics of Somali medical beliefs, and their view of the Western healthcare system. They actually found some very specific nuggets in these very short groups. They came up with things like, I didn't realize there was an incidence or prevalence of abuse within the families, so that was something we did not expect. Or I didn't realize that Somali women sometimes do not have the right to refuse sex with their husbands. So some very specific things. Skills obtained, these are quotes, ways to approach tough topics, a new approach to depression, and some overriding principles that they picked up. We need to listen more carefully. So they did recognize the importance of time, and they were able to get that from the groups. We need to teach. They came up with a long list of ideas, small groups, videos, altered content. Specifically, they focused around C-section consents and how they felt they would be less willing to pressure these women prenatally to sign a C-section consent, but rather focus at that point on education and crossings or working with some of the cultural barriers around that. And I think the most important statement, we need to continue to dialogue, and some very specific quality improvement projects came out of this in terms of residents choosing to work with this population for their quality improvement requirements. So a couple words, elements of success, and then some of our challenges. So I think things that went well, that investment in the analysis of local perceptions up front, I think was really foundational to the project. And the appropriate choice of most liaisons, we had women that were invested and stayed with us for the duration of the project. The time intensive work up front, I think, was critical, developing that trust that I mentioned that's sometimes difficult to overcome. Trying to fit the program style with the audience needs. So we had a kind of a culture adapted program each step of the way. And then the direct interaction liaisons with the providers was really critical. And in the evaluation forms, the residents just really raved about having a chance to sit down out of the clinical setting and have discussions with the women. This slide is a debrief. What might we do differently if we were to redo it? So an initial literacy survey, we started thinking about doing Somali written literature, found out later that many of our patients in our reader write in Somali or English. The emphasis on age, experience, and confidence when selecting liaisons, those were the women that did the best in terms of fulfilling the cross-cultural work. The personal recruitment by liaisons, initially I mentioned that, having them contact the women in the community individually rather than relying on signs. Reconvening the providers following the small groups. We had great feedback individually from what they got out of the small groups, but I wish I brought everybody together while the excitement was high to pool their findings and share them with each other. And then having an immediate follow-up meeting with the providers and the liaisons for project maintenance, which is always the most challenging in one of these projects. So summary application, the Somali education, goal-directed but flexible format, content based on research of local specifics, the provider cultural competency workshop based on the need to know adult learning theory model, and then once again using liaisons bi-directionally both for the education of the population, but even more importantly, I think, for the education of our own clinical staff and training. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.